The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
And a very good morning to you. It's Oliver Callan here, standing in for Ryan for the next two mornings. The text is 51551, email ryan@rte.ie. So it is Monday, the 2nd of March, and it is technically springtime. I changed my page on my BBC Countryfile weather photo competition thing this morning. It's the small things in life. It was a lovely image of hares galloping through a sunlit forest, but it's springtime here, but it does feel like a walk-in freezer in this country at the moment. And later on, we've got hail, we have sleet showers to look forward to. I mean, is there anything more miserable than sleet? It is the killjoy rain. It's the cold rain that robs us even of the potential for snow. We can see the snow, but it's kind of been bullied out of the sky by the wet stuff. Still, we will focus on the positive. We've heard there in Morning Ireland stuff about the storms of the weekend, but Storm Jorge, everybody after, Storm Jorge, thankfully passed without major incident. Now, I say that, I know there are still farms and homes and everything flooded out there since before the storm along the Shannon. But it is important to stress that the towns from Limerick right up to Athlone, they're still open for business and they want your business. And we know the Late Late Show is going to Limerick on Friday week, I think it is. And I'm actually doing a Callan's Kicks show, that my live tour starts in Limerick on the 21st of March in the Lime Tree Theatre. So, which, by the way, is kind of the real start of spring for a lot of people. So shoppers, don't stay away from those places. We're seeing the footage in the news because there's bad news for some people, but don't stay away from them altogether. Now, the newspapers are still full of coronavirus stories, but let's look at the positive if we can. And I read on the times.ie that scientists in Antrim have developed the first 4-hour virus test kit. That's 10 times faster than the current tests that were available. And Randox Labs, they worked flat out for 2 weeks to develop the test. So a very interesting Irish element to the whole thing in terms of the success and the hope that we have. Of course, some people believe there could be a vaccine created by April. So rest assured, there are geniuses working to try and defeat this thing. And that test is going to Wuhan, the source of the outbreak, from tomorrow, I believe. Now, what does it mean for shutdowns and restrictions in our lives? Well, in France, as we know, they've had quite a hefty response to it, because they've put a ban on any gatherings of more than 5,000 people. And I read in the Irish Daily Mail today that kissing has been banned throughout France. They've suggested a hiatus on le bisou, the common greeting, the mwah, mwah, bonjour, bonsoir, and so on. This is to avoid shaking hands, of course. Avoid shaking hands and avoid doing that. That's what they're saying. And the world's most visited museum was closed when 2,500 workers voted not to open the Louvre to prevent infection. So they've stepped it up a gear in France, but they've lots more cases than we have. Only one, fingers crossed, and let's not hope. Another interesting story, a kind of a positive offshoot in a way from the whole coronavirus. In the Irish Daily Star, we see these amazing photographs, satellite images from NASA, which show the pollution levels over China. And the picture on the left shows us a month ago in January, and this is like a big orange blob covering about a third of this vast, vast country of China. And then they show the picture from last week, and the air is nice and clean. That's because all the factories are no longer working at full tilt. But of course, there are shortages of supplies and things. Diet Coke apparently is worried about a future supply of its stock. And also Penny's have warned that later in the year, if things don't step or return to normal in China soon, that there could be clothing shortages on its range. Could the world live without calorie-free Coke and sequin tops for a fiver? Don't laugh about it. A lot of jobs do depend on that. Now, this one caught my eye. Coronavirus. Bats are still on the menu at a meat market in Indonesia. Now, bats have been identified as the probable source of the coronavirus outbreak, we read in the Times Ireland edition. But on the butcher stalls in this rural part of northeast Indonesia, they are still in high demand. There's a little panic here about bat meat, which is popularly consumed in a curried coconut stew. So they've been told to stop the sale of fruit bats but they carry on eating it. In rural Indonesia, they believe that eating bat is a traditional medicine for respiratory diseases, the very ailments that are caused by the new coronavirus, COVID-19. I mean, I suppose if it's a tradition among them. I mean, it's like if eating a crisp sandwich was the cause of some illness in Ireland and you're trying to get people to stop eating crisp, they probably wouldn't listen to them. You never know. Now, good weekend, bad weekend. Good weekend for Boris Johnson, which I'll come to in a moment. Bad weekend for Liverpool fans. They slipped up against lowly Watford 3-0, but they're still 22 points clear. They're still going to win the Premier League, according to the bookies, for the first time in 30 years. But in the Irish Sun, I read that the schoolboy, we all remember him, Darragh Kerley, who wrote to Jurgen Klopp asking him to lose some games, was jumping for joy after Liverpool lost their first league game this season. He's a Man United fan. There's a massive picture of him on page 5 of the Irish Daily, on the Irish Sun. And he's smiling away there because, of course, he had written to him asking him to lose matches. Klopp replied saying, he didn't want to disappoint millions of Liverpool fans, so he can't make his team lose matches. But there he is, there's Darragh in his Man United scarf. Mind you, they had a bit of a tough one yesterday against Everton. It was I think, a one-all draw and lots of controversy about VARs, which is the illness that infects refereeing decisions in soccer matches. Now, good news on the menu for Boris Johnson, which was the biggest story in the UK over the weekend. Boris is pregnant. Well, his fiancée, Carrie Simmons, is pregnant with her first child. And congratulations to her, of course. It's going to be Boris's 5th, 6th, 27th child. Who knows? We don't know. Not even if he got a bus and he emblazoned it with the number of younglings he has sired. Yes, indeed. Could you believe the man? In fact, especially if he put it on a bus. But anyway, we reckon this is baby number 6 for Bojo. And it is wedding number 3. So a double announcement, which kind of came a few hours after a bit of a scandal involving the Home Secretary and lots of people asking, where is Boris? Because he didn't visit the flood-stricken districts of Britain and he was missing during the virus emergency updates. Well, we know what he was doing now. We know what he was doing. And interesting footnote in terms of history. He's the first British Prime Minister to get married in office for 200 years. And the last one was Lord Liverpool. See, so it's all connected. So anyway, they're getting married. There's a baby on the way and it's a wonderful distraction. I mean, occasion for Boris Johnson. It was a leap year Saturday, by the way. I thought for a moment maybe Carrie Simmons had proposed to Boris. I know a woman who did proposing at the weekend. It went very well for her. And congrats to all the women who proposed successfully on Saturday. A lot of people had fun, actually, about the Boris story. Rory Bremner tweeted, well, that withdrawal agreement didn't work. Hashtag Boris baby. And somebody said Dominic Cummings has final approval on baby names. Was there a headline? I don't know if this is true or false, that Boris' fiancée to go into labour is one of the alleged headlines. Now, staying with the Brits, an unknown actor in over there landed the role of a lifetime. Tom Byrne, must have some Irish connections, 25, was told he was going to play a senior royal in the next series of The Crown on Netflix. But in the Irish Sun, he learned that the royal he's going to be playing is Randy Andy, as they call him in the Sun. Yes, the Duke of York, Prince Andrew, with the connections, the icky connections to Jeffrey Epstein. So he's going to play him. And a lot of kind of, he was delighted, obviously, and he probably was thinking, I'm going to be playing him. That's going to be his whole thing for life, possibly. Who knows? Now, for those of you who have pets, we have hot news. Why dogs have such cold noses? The mystery of why dogs have cold noses appears to have been solved. They are ultra-sensitive heat detectors. Scientists have learned that dogs can perceive very, very faint sources of heat, equivalent to the warmth emitted by a small furry mammal from 5 feet away. So I presume this is nature doing its thing, because they are killers and they want to eat little soft, hot-blooded small things so they can sniff them out and they can detect temperature. But we didn't know about this. We knew about the superiority of the canine nose, which is 100 million times more sensitive to smell than ours. And if you're interested, the temperature of a dog's nose changes according to surrounding conditions. At 30 degrees, it tends to be about 5 Celsius cooler. So that is, you know, when the dog comes up to you and it rubs its nose against you and has that weird cold nose and you're wondering, is he okay? Is she okay? Are they coming down with something? No, it's just that they have supersonic noses. The unsealing of Vatican archives will finally reveal the truth about the allegedly called Hitler's Pope. This is in The Guardian, not The Guardian. This is The Guardian. Yes, indeed. Perfect enunciation here. Yeah, thank you very much. New light will be shed on one of the most controversial periods of Vatican history on Monday, today, when the archives on Pope Pius XII, accused by critics of being a Nazi sympathiser, are unsealed. So this is something Pope Francis said he was going to do last year. Most of the Pope's papers, some of them have been revealed for memoirs written within the Vatican for historical purposes. But this guy, who was sitting on the throne of the papacy, which began in 1939 on the brink of the Second World War and ended in the late 50s, 1958, his papers are going to be opened. And critics have previously accused him of being, you know, remaining silent throughout the Holocaust, never publicly condemning the persecution and the genocide of Jews and others. While his defenders have said, no, he was quietly, you know, encouraging convents and other institutions to hide thousands of Jews from the Nazis, and that public criticism of Hitler would have risked the lives of priests and nuns. But anyway, they're going to be open today. Very small number of people are going to get to see them. 150 people have applied to access them. Only 60 can get in at the one time, I believe. But the first to view the documents, understandably, will be representatives of the Jewish community. So keep an eye out on that one. We will watch with interest as those details emerge over the next while. Another story which caught my eye, this is from the times.ie. The Riverdance. 26 years after Riverdance made its debut at the Eurovision Song Contest, a €35 million animated movie based on the stage show is in the works. So the film will feature a reworking of Irish composer Bill Whelan's original score for the Riverdance show alongside new songs he's written for the film. So kind of Frozen, because it's an animated film and it's currently called Riverdance The Animated Adventure. It's co-directed by Eamon Butler. It's being made by CineSite, which is a digital entertainment studio based in London, Montreal and Vancouver. So what is the plot? What are they going to do? Well, it centres on Keegan, who's a young Irish boy, and his Spanish friend Moya, as in Moya Doherty, I presume, who befriend an Irish elk, which is the kind of giant stag creature that's now extinct here. You can see one in the Dead Zoo, which was actually dug up in Carrickmacross. See, Monaghan Link, I can find always one. I can always find one. So Keegan and Moya are friends with this Irish elk, and who teaches them to appreciate Riverdance as a celebration of life. So Riverdance, and of course, all Eurovision-y, and it's gearing up, and Eurovision is gearing up big time. Lot of excitement at the weekend when the Icelandic Eurovision entry was being revealed, and it is to be seen. I think last year they did a mad kind of S&M heavy dance meets, you know, it was a bit mad. But this one is kind of tatty. It's tatty mad, isn't it? It's Napoleon Dynamite meets the Hanson family, you know, the Mbop people. And anyway, it's called Thing. What is it? Something about things. Dedefieu are the artists. Let us know what you think. I think it's groovy. There you go. Think About Things by Dedefieu. And that's the Icelandic Eurovision entry for 2020. It's happening in Amsterdam in May. We don't know who's representing Ireland yet, but This Is Pop Baby, I think, are the people behind it this year. Philip McMahon. That's This Is Pop Baby. Philip McMahon, not the back for the Dubs. He's won a couple of All-Irelands. Think About Things. Now, I am obsessed with this song, says a tweet. It's been in my head since yesterday. I want the jumper. And you have to see the video. It's a big, long-haired, tall, lanky fella in a natty sitting room, and you see, Eurovision is all about the performance in the night, so that's kind of interesting. That Iceland song is going to be the Get Lucky 2020. Fantastic! So there's a lot of fans out there for that thing. I think it's good. It kind of fits. Listenable, isn't it? Listenable. Now, on the Boris, we have a text from Eileen in Adair. She says, I've read that Boris is not yet divorced from his second wife, Henry VIII, deja vu. Well, Eileen, I can tell you, because I read The Telegraph, and The Telegraph never lies, that he got divorced, I think, all of 11 days ago. It's very soon. So the marriage was still warm in the grave when he decided to go for number three. Now, on dogs, Elizabeth tells us, when the dog's nose is cold, he's in fine form. When it's warm or hot, he's not well. Thought you might like to know that. So that means that he can't smell the little creatures that he wants to kill. That means what's going on.